The scripture this morning in the New Testament of Luke is probably one of the most debated scriptures in the Bible. Certainly one of the most, not the most. Different denominations of Christ Church have come to different conclusions about it. They spend a lot of time dwelling upon the end times. They correlate it to the book of Revelation. It certainly speaks quite precisely to the book of Daniel. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus told us, do not worry about when the day will come. He says it will come like a thief in the night, and no one but the Father knows when it will come. Yet thousands of years later, we're still debating what that day is going to be, and when it's going to be, and who has the best and the most accurate prediction of what it is, because it's fascinating stuff. It really is fascinating stuff. Everybody likes to read about that stuff, whether they read the Left Behind series or watch some of these things. I mean, they're fascinating and interesting. And if they bring one person to know the Lord as their Savior, God bless them. That's good. But there are some truths in this scripture that do not require great debate, do not require speculation or great amounts of discussion to understand. We know that this scripture is very important. We know this because this scripture, this what Luke has recorded in the 21st chapter of his testament, Matthew recorded in the 24th chapter, and Mark in, I believe, the 16th chapter of his scripture. They're not identical in words, but they're identical in facts. Jesus said, make up your mind not to worry. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. That's from Luke. Matthew recorded it. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Stay calm. It talks about persecution in the name of the Lord. It doesn't say might happen, it says it will happen. In this country so far, we can speak freely of the Lord without persecution, at least as far as threat of life or imprisonment. It's becoming more and more difficult to speak legally in the name of the Lord in public places. But we are not in fear of our lives. We're not in fear of being beaten and thrown in prison for proclaiming the word of Jesus Christ. This is not so in many parts of the world. I have a good friend who spends time smuggling Bibles into China. And working in parts of smuggling Bibles into parts of the Middle East as well. And they literally smuggle them in. And a pastor that is a friend of mine I graduated from high school with joined him one time, and they were crawling through a field and there were bullets flying overhead as they were dragging bags of Bibles through the field. Persecution is a very real thing today. And we hold on to our freedoms in this nation by such a very thin thread. A very strong thread, but a very important thread. And you need to cherish that. And you need to rejoice in that and give God thanks that we are free to worship as we please. That we are free to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. There are many truths in our scripture today. We know that Jesus told them that this temple, when they were admiring the craftsmanship of this temple, and you know, the temple that was built, the temple in Jerusalem, was an extraordinary piece of work. It was one of the most beautiful and adorned buildings in the known world. But it was built for the wrong reasons. It wasn't that the Jews used it for the wrong reasons, but the temple in Jerusalem was built by King Herod. And King Herod built the temple because he was appointed the Roman ruler and he was a Jew. And he was competing with the other Roman rulers in the non-Jewish world around throughout the Roman Empire. And each of them built successively greater and grander temples to worship the idols and the false gods, many false gods that the Romans worshipped. So when Romans conquered a country, they didn't come in and destroy the country normally. They didn't come in and take over everything. They just appointed governors and they collected taxes. And whatever religion they had was fine with the Romans because they worshipped lots of gods. It was okay. But those governors would then take a lot of their ill-gotten gains through taxes and build these extraordinary temples to whoever they worshipped. And King Herod was not going to be outdone. And he knew the Jewish people wanted a temple, and therefore they would give him less problems with collecting these extraordinary taxes that he collected if he built them a grand temple. And this temple was seen, when seen from far off approaching, looked like a mound of snow because it was complete alabaster white, polished marbles and fine stones. And the front of it was clad with enormous thick ropes of solid gold. It was a grand spectacle. And the disciples were standing there admiring this magnificent temple. And Jesus said, "The day is coming when not a single stone will stand upon another." These stones that had been so perfectly set that you could not see the seams between them. They looked like a plain white face clad with gold at places. Not a single stone would remain upon another. And this, in fact, took place just 40 years later. He said that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And of course, the Jews, there was an uprising of the Jews against the Romans, and the Romans came in and killed over 1,100,000 Jews, men, women, and children. And they hauled off over 150,000 captives into slavery. Now, at the population levels at that time, that was an enormous, devastating blow to the Jewish people. It had been predicted by Daniel. It had been predicted by Jesus. It came true. The interesting thing is that Jesus also told his disciples at this time that you will be persecuted. You will be thrown in prison and hauled before governors and prince and kings. And this was true. In fact, much of this took place before the overthrowing of the temple. Most of it did. God uses everything for good. Because the Jews were being so persecuted, the Christians were being so persecuted by the Jews, almost all of the Jews fled Jerusalem before Jerusalem was overthrown. Almost all the Christians fled Jerusalem. So there was almost no Christians harmed in the when the Romans invaded Jerusalem because they were persecuted so badly and so ferociously in Jerusalem that they fled to other cities, other countries. God uses all things for good. Not only did the Christians fleeing Jerusalem because of the persecution spare them from being killed by the Roman invasion, it meant that Christians fled all over the known world to other places, carrying with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus used this persecution that was meant for ill by both the Jews and the Romans to spread his good word throughout the world. Fascinating to see how God was working in that ancient world. But even more fascinating is to know that God is working in your life in exactly the same way. These things that you fear, these things that you are afraid of, these things that have that you worry that will happen, may indeed happen, but they will be used by God for good. So Jesus said, be calm. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Jesus said, I will give you the words. I will put the words in your heart. And not only will Jesus, not only did Jesus promise to put the words in your heart when you're persecuted and defending your faith, the Apostle Paul told us that when you go to speak to people about Jesus Christ, when you proclaim to them your faith in Jesus Christ, do not worry that the Holy Spirit will put the words in your mouth and give the words to your heart that you need to share the good news. God has been working throughout the ages. He worked in ancient times in Israel, using persecution to spread the gospel throughout the world, using Peter's denial of Christ three times to give Peter the conviction and the strength and the inner will to persevere through all that he would need to persevere through as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He used those three denials of Jesus to shape and mold Peter into something he could use for good. God's been doing that all along. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, God used it for good to give testimony to the king. Now, we not need fear of being thrown into the lion's den, although some days it seems like it. We do need to know that life has not been promised to be easy, that the life of a Christian particularly has not been promised to be easy. And when we expect it to be easy, we are very disappointed. But what we can know, and we can know absolutely, and we can know beyond any doubt, is that when we go through this life, and we go through these trials, and we get these bad reports of our health, or we get these unexpected financial challenges that we have to deal with, or we run into family problems that just don't seem fair, we need to know that what Jesus Christ told us to do was to be calm. You're not alone. Trust in the Lord. The Holy Spirit will use all things for good for those who believe in Him. The destruction of the temple was an unthinkable thing to these disciples. And as they wrote about this in later years, you know, their hearts must have been burning to think, to finally understand what Jesus meant. You know, their hearts must have been just burning to finally get the understanding that everything that Jesus Christ said to them was true. It is important that you and I come to an understanding that everything that Jesus Christ said to us is true. That we don't pick and choose and try to find meanings, and that we don't spend all of our time worrying about end times and worrying about what is going to happen when Jesus comes again. But heed the words of Jesus, understanding that they are true. He said, "I will come like a thief in the night when no one is expecting it." Be prepared, dwell in the Word, be calm, because you are not alone. Amen.